Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the Red Cedar Report on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, we preview Michigan State's Senior Day game against Penn State as the Spartans look to try to punch their ticket to the Big Ten Championship. Joining us today, we have iSportsWeb contributor Mike Sterner to help us preview this weekend's game against the Nittany Lions. Mike, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Tyler?
I'm doing good. A lot on the line this weekend, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how this team can live up to being the hunted. But I guess there was a lot on the line last night, too, if you look at it. Tom Izzo with his 500th career victory.
Incredible.
In East Lansing. Let's get your thoughts on that first.
Well, I mean, I think you got to step back and realize that, you know, what he's done is an incredible thing, what Tom Izzo's done in East Lansing. And to think about all the great players, I mean, you've seen, like, Draymond Green come through there. He's appreciated from all the players that he's, you know, and we know the relationship he has with Mateen, for instance. All the players that have come through his program, you know, you see where they've gone off and had success. And it's not just about what he's done on the court, but it's the father figure he's been. So the 500 wins is one thing, but it's the entire scope of the program, what he's been able to do for Spartan basketball and then just for the young men who've gone through the program.
And I think his biggest contribution to the program, you can talk about everything that he's done, the media room and the football stadium and everything else that he's kind of done, like, for the community or whatever is obviously
Absolutely.
A big thing. But he's provided so much stability, and this is where it all started. Everyone talks about how great it is to be a Spartan right now, from Hollis to Izzo to D'Antonio. I think that his stability is what the biggest thing is. 7 Final Fours in 20 years. It, you don't get much better than that.
Nope. You really don't. And I think you really, milestones like this really let you appreciate that. And for anybody who is a Spartan fan, you appreciate that because he's, you know, you see him make the Final Fours, but then, you know, this talks about the longevity of his career here at Michigan State. And there's certainly more to come, you would think, especially with his top recruiting class coming in and this team, how they've started the year. You think they'd have the potential to do some big things as well. But I just to see what he's done for Michigan State as a program, and not only that, like you said, the community aspect, it's pretty incredible. So, you know, you really got to hold on to that. And, you know, he won't be here forever, but time he is there, 20 years and then and counting, there's been some incredible years in East Lansing.
And when you look at the list of coaches who have 500-plus wins, it's a pretty decent-sized list. It's a surprisingly good-sized list.
Yeah.
But how many of those 500 wins have come at one university? And then you also factor into the equation that Tom Izzo is only the 8th coach to do this within 21 years at the helm of a program, or at the helm of any program for that matter. And so that right there goes to show you just how good he actually is, because people sit there and they look at Coach K's record and it's like, oh, Tom Izzo's never going to get over 1,000 wins. Well, of course not. Tom Izzo started a little bit later. But if you look
Absolutely.
At it, in the first 21 years, he's one of only 8 guys to do it. And so if you're going to use any comparison, I think that would be the way to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's turn our attention to football here. We would love to talk a little more basketball, especially with a potential meeting against Arizona coming up this weekend. But the Spartan football team, we only have a half hour. The Spartan football team is going to get a little bit of priority here since we are wrapping up the season. And the status of Connor Cook is still up in the air. I'm not even going to ask you if you heard anything because I know you haven't, because it's Mark D'Antonio and that's how he plays off his injuries. But just talk about Connor Cook, Tyler O'Connor, and if you expect to see Cook this weekend.
I think that my expectation has been he'll play a little bit, but I don't see him foresee him playing the whole game, even if he's healthy enough to do so. I think last week we saw we have the means around the entire football field to win a game even without Cook, which, I mean, against an Ohio State team, that was kind of surprising. But I think that if he is able to go, he'll take a few snaps, you know, maybe work a couple drives. But I don't see him going out there for too long. They don't want to risk injury with what could be to come. If he is able to go, I think you'll see full-fledged against Iowa in the Big Ten Championship if MSU is able to beat Penn State this weekend.
Right. I think if his shoulder is 99.9%, I think they should give him a rest. If it's 100, let him go, just given the implications of this game. Tyler O'Connor played very well against Ohio State, but it helps when you're not forced to pass in certain situations because you can run right through them. And I didn't think that Michigan State would be able to run through the line with, you know, Darren Lee backing him up at linebacker, and then you had Joey Bosa and Adolphus Washington up front. I didn't think they'd be able to punch Ohio State right in the mouth like that. I know that they won't be able to do that with Penn State. And so the whole, if you get stuck in the third and long situation, you're not just going to run it and try to play for field position like you did last week. You're going to try to get that first down. And so that's why if Connor Cook is healthy, I would like to see him. If he's not, if he is just at 99.9%, it's senior day. Let him go out there. Let him hand the ball off to Gerald Holmes on that first play and give him a curtain call.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm thinking. I just do not want Michigan State fans to get robbed of seeing Connor Cook at his last day at Spartan Stadium when he's been the best quarterback that Michigan State's ever had.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And then, you know, just what he's done for this program, you want to see him out there for his last game. I know he'll be dressed in the very least like he was for Ohio State, but it's different being dressed and going out there and taking a snap, you know. That's just something you do for seniors in general. But then when you talk about a guy who's really been your program for the last 3 years, and he's your best quarterback of all time, you gotta let him at least get a snap in this game. So I think that should occur. I think that if he's even close to healthy, he may play a few drives. But I don't even know if that has anything to do with senior day. It may just be in preparation for next week. You don't want them to be too cold going into such a big game if MSU is able to pull off.
Same time, and this can take us to our next point, you don't want to expose him to that Penn State defensive line because they are nasty up front.
Yeah, they do have, I mean, that's been Penn State football for the last, you know, ever since they've been under their sanctions, it's always been Penn State football, but that's what they've been leaning on. It's kind of ironic they have such a high-rated quarterback, but really they're built from the defense, and that's they win, you know, seven games is respectable. You know, they win seven games. It has a lot to do with their defense and their defensive line in particular.
Carl Nassib, he leads the NCAA 15 and a half sacks. Have you heard what the latest regarding his injury situation is? Because I know he was in and out against Michigan. Do you know if he's going to be able to be a full board go?
No. I wouldn't imagine he'd be full on, but I think he'll play a little bit more than he did against Michigan. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Penn State's, what their motivation in this game is. That'll be very interesting to see.
Well, you have the NCAA's sack leader, Carl Nassib, on one end. In the middle, you have a guy who can tackle a tree in Anthony Zettel. And so it's a very interesting matchup. I'm really excited to see, because the Penn State defensive line against the Michigan State offensive line, because, look, the Michigan State offensive line, they've not lived up to expectations this year. They haven't.
Nope.
And then, you know, they started getting it together a little bit. They finally started getting all of their starters 100%. And the best defensive line, the best defensive front that I thought that they were going to face all year, last week against Ohio State, they went out and they punched them right in the mouth. And so I'm really interested to see if they're able to carry that, if the offensive line is able to carry that momentum over and do the same thing to Penn State.
Yeah, I would think they, you know, that's probably the goal right now, especially if a guy, you know, Connor Cook can't play, if he's limited, you know. I think you got to have that goal if you're the offensive line. You got to want to have a similar kind of a game. I think you do, you know, I think the, being, at last I heard, there's not going to be any precipitation involved on Saturday, which is good, so that might open up the passing game a little bit more. But even still, the offensive line has the power to win this game even without Connor Cook. So I think their goal is going to be to put up a similar dominance as they did against Ohio State, which was the most impressive performance they've had.
Well, one of the things that Cook brings to the table is he's so calm under pressure. And I think with the lack of precipitation, they are going to look to throw a little bit more with Tyler O'Connor. I don't want to see how he handles going under pressure until next year. I want to see this offensive line kind of upright and give him a little bit more time than they would Connor Cook, because – I mean, Cook's sack numbers, they're about the same as they were last year. He's been sacked 13 times, I think the number was.
Yeah.
Maybe 12 or something like that. And all last year it was 11 times. And so the numbers are about the same as far as pass protection goes. Just against Penn State's defense, Tyler O'Connor just needs a little bit more time than that still, at least until he gets into a rhythm of the game. And again, this is all hypothetical because we don't know who's going to be under center.
Absolutely. We didn't know last week. We thought we did when Connor Cook said he's going to play, but that changed.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to you. I saw number 7 go under center and I threw in the towel.
I think a lot of people, I really think
I was asking,
did.
I was asking for it back, but I threw it in.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did it. The atmosphere of Spartans in Columbus, it was kind of the same thing. You know, everyone was seeing reports on, you know, all over social media, and then you didn't believe it until O'Connor was actually the first guy out there taking snaps. You couldn't believe it. And I know even Cook said, you know, Cook was out there in warm-ups throwing the ball around. And I know what D'Antonio's been saying, his biggest concern is that he doesn't quite have the velocity, or he at least didn't at that point have the velocity he'd like to have for him have on the ball. And that's been what's keeping him out. But obviously they're considering his future here too. This isn't just about this season for Cook as much as people in East Lansing don't want to think about that. He's got a future beyond Michigan State, so you got to keep everything in mind. You know, this is his future, so there's a lot going into this decision.
And it's a very bright future, too. We've talked about O'Connor and how he's going to be able to handle maybe a very aggressive pass rush if he's out there, or if Cook can handle it. Again, like I said, it's all hypothetical when we're talking about quarterbacks this week. But on the back end, Penn State's hurting Jordan Lucas. He's out for the year. That's a recent injury for the Nittany Lions.
Yeah. Penn State's been suffering their fair share of injuries at the latter end of the season. That'll be interesting, too. I think, you know, this basically every team in the country, you know, is banged up to some level at this point. Freshmen are no longer freshmen. The ones that have played, whether they're red shirts or true freshmen, they're starting to find their own, I think. So, you know, you start to lean on your depth this late in the season, no matter who you are. And Penn State and obviously Michigan State's had to do that. We've seen that a lot this year, leaning on depth.
Well, let's talk about one of the freshmen who's starting to make, about halfway through the season, he started making a name for himself, and that is Saquon Barkley, the running back of Penn State. How has he been able to have the success that he's had as a freshman? Because some would say, I mean, I know Scott got dinged up a little bit. Maybe Barkley is the best freshman running back in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I would say he's performed the best. I mean, he's had the most chances. I think he grasped the opportunity ahead of him, and you know, he made it work. Penn State was in desperate need of a playmaker around Hackenberg, and he's been that guy. Even though he's not the guy catching the passes, he can take pressure off of Hackenberg a little bit. I would say he's the guy. You know, I think he's had the best freshman season. And part of that, as you said, goes into LJ Scott's been hurt from time to time. And then even still, you've had, you know, MSU's had the development of a guy like Gerald Holmes that kind of maybe stunted LJ Scott's ability to get the ball more. So, which is not a bad thing. But yeah, Barkley's definitely taken it and ran with it, literally and figuratively.
And he's been able to do it with without much of an offensive line either, because that offensive line out there at State College, I think the most fair word to use in this situation is crappy. It's an awful, awful, awful offensive line.
Yeah, I think that those in State College would be okay with that word usage as well. They may use some more profound words.
Yeah, well, you know, this is, well,
you want to keep it.
So
yeah, you want to keep it as low level as you can.
Yeah, there's an array of words that we can't use to describe Penn State's offensive line. And, I mean, again, this just speaks to how good Barkley's been this year, because Barkley is putting up pretty good numbers behind that offensive line. But one guy who's not been able maybe to still have good moments in spite of the offensive line is Christian Hackenberg. There's so much talk about Cook and O'Connor, who's going to play, but I think that in one way or another, Christian Hackenberg is the biggest question mark at quarterback coming into this game.
Yeah, I mean, he invests a lot on Hackenberg. He's going to need to make plays, and really that's been the story all season long. And Penn State, don't quote me on this, but I think Penn State hasn't beaten any Power 5 teams over 500, if I remember the stat right. And
that's
a lot
correct.
Of that
that's right.
On,
can we quote you on it? You're right.
A lot of that leans on your quarterback. You know, if he can't make big plays, especially when there's somebody like Hackenberg who gets all the hype potential and talk, all that stuff that he could have into his future. He gets all this talk, but he hasn't made the plays when he's had to. And that's been a big, you know, that's been one of the big issues in Penn State. So that, you know, this team, if he would have lived up to his potential in college, the 7-win Penn State team could be a 10-win team possibly. And yeah, the offensive line hasn't been there, and that definitely has to be considered. But there is a point when players, and I think you talked about this before going on, when players who have high expectations have to meet those expectations.
Okay, look, we're both fans of really good ball. You know, we both love quality football. And so I was excited about Christian Hackenberg. Not necessarily Michigan State playing against him every year, but I was excited to see this kid with all of the hype and all of the praise that he had as a true freshman coming in, and how good he did as a true freshman, and just how he's never built on that. And you talked about him not reaching his potential. And so I want you to put a number on it right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed are you in Christian Hackenberg's development?
10 being the highest, I'm guessing?
10 being the most disappointed.
Probably about a 7 or an 8. And part of that is it's good quality football, but you talk about, like, when we talk about, you know, we wanted to see good quality football out of him. We haven't necessarily seen that, but I kind of slowed it down a little bit because of that offensive line. But it's still, you know, I'm not going to put it at a 5 necessarily, because he's still, you know, when you're the number one rated quarterback coming out for your class, you're expected to do some big things. And I had a lot of respect for Hackenberg, especially coming to Penn State and staying true to his commitment despite all the upheaval that hit the program after he had already committed. So I think that, you know, I give him a little bit of slack because of that, you know, and I see the leadership there. But even still, when you have that kind of a potential and all this hype talk, you got to live up to it at some point. And I don't think he has lived up to those full expectations.
I mean, if I'm throwing a number on it, I was at about the same level as you, just because he was supposed to be the best quarterback, and people are still talking about, oh, well, he's got to develop. He's had 3 years. And watch.
Yep.
We're talking about it like this, and he's going to go out and he's going to tear up Michigan State for 400 yards and like 3 or 4 touchdowns. But he's been kind of a disappointment. And like I said, initially I was going to go, you know, around the same level you did. But then I watched the Michigan game. And, okay, Michigan State, they blitzed a lot against Ohio State. They stopped the run. They went after the quarterback. And that's what they need to do. Penn State gives up more sacks than anybody else in the Big Ten. And so I understand a little bit of frustration from Christian Hackenberg, but he looked like he mailed it in at the end of that U of M game. There was very little effort at the end of it. Poor decision making, just the lack of heart. That's what it looked like, and I'm not going to sit there and like completely crush a professional athlete and say that he's not trying, but he wasn't trying, a future professional athlete, but he's not trying as hard as he could have. And it was evident. We've talked about the fact he hasn't developed, but he has more ability than what he showed at the end of that Michigan game. And he just was not living up to anything that I set for him. He's been a disappointment. And if Michigan State can blitz, and if they can get inside his head early and often, it's going to be a long day for Penn State, even if Tyler O'Connor's at quarterback.
Absolutely. And I think you alluded to that. I mean, we saw the capability of this defense against Ohio State. So, you know, if you can get in the head of really the entire Ohio State offense, as we've seen it, the endless press conferences that had after that game, you can probably get him ahead of an already frustrated Christian Hackenberg, as you alluded to. So that'll be really interesting to see. I think, you know, it is disappointing, especially, you know, that could have been Christian Hackenberg's pseudo senior day against Michigan, being that, you know, a lot of talk is that he's going to go out to the into the NFL draft. So, you know, and he didn't perform like you would want to see from a guy who may be playing his last game at home. So you got to – I kind of wonder what goes through the NFL executive's mind in that situation. Is that going to be considered? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's just the ultimate thing. It's really quick because we only have like 4 minutes left and we got to get to the prediction. Penn State – they mailed it in. They looked like they mailed it in at the end of the game. Again, that could be a tribute to Michigan's defense, especially against that Penn State offensive line. So it's hard to judge that, but that's what it looked like. Without a shot for the Big Ten East, how does James Franklin's team respond this weekend?
Play with a little bit more heart than they did last week. It's particularly at the end, but I just don't think they have the talent and the overall team to beat Michigan State, even if Connor Cook doesn't play. I'm going to say this is probably going to be a lower scoring game, but I expect Michigan State to go 21-14 on Penn State in a victory and to seal up the representation for the Big Ten East in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think they come out with that fire. I think you're right. James Franklin, he's a good coach. He's turned things around a lot faster than people thought that he could. And who knows, a win this weekend, an 8-4 season with a victory over Michigan State would be good for Penn State. Let's put it like that.
Yes.
It would be very good for Penn State, even though it wouldn't ultimately affect, you know, their postseason hopes. But I think that Michigan State's defensive line, I think the linebackers, I think they get to Hackenberg. The secondary's been in the best shape for Michigan State that it has been all year, and so I think that Hackenberg, if Cook plays, I could see this being a 14-17 point game. I don't think he does. If he does, it's going to be handoffs, maybe two possessions, if he decides to throw it. And so I've got Michigan State winning this one 20-17. Let's put it on the leg of Geiger again.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't think Michigan State fans want to see it go down to the end of a game. If you're talking about a game-winning field goal, at least, I don't think Michigan State fans want to see that again. There's been a lot of cardiology in East Lansing.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately not what I would like to see, but look, Geiger's made 5 of his last 6, so, and one of them, and that miss was in the rain at Ohio State. I think he's starting to turn it around a little bit, and who knows, maybe that big kick will give him a little bit of confidence. But Mike, hey, thanks for coming on. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Absolutely, you do the same, Tyler.
All right, thank you. That does it for us today. Be sure to check us out next week as we wrap up this game and hopefully look forward to the Spartans game against the Iowa Hawkeyes for a shot at the college football playoff. For Mike Sterner, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Theater Report.